Okay, it is November 29th, early Yud Beis Kislev, if I'm not mistaken, and we are at the bottom of Daf Chof Beis Amud Aleph in Eilu Metzias, second paragraph above Metzia. Last time we spoke at some length about when you read the previous Gemara with the proof from Truma, it looks like the upshot, the maskan of the Gemara is that you can only take off Truma somebody if he designated you as a shliach. The Rambam doesn't paskin that way. We looked at other sugyas, and after you look into things, it actually becomes quite apparent why the Rambam would rule that way. We threw a ketzos achosh, if not mistaken. But let's move on to the next proof now. Okay, we're still working Yiyah Shalomidas. Rava holds it is Yiyah, Shabbai holds it isn't. And perhaps tonight we'll reach the final proof. And that sugya, but this is the second to last one. So two lines from the bottom in Chof Beis Amud Aleph. Toshma, literally coming here, means we're going to cite something that's going to serve as a proof. In this case, it's a Tosefta. Tosefta from Masechas Machshirin in the third parak. I know that from looking in the Masechas Hashas. Let's see what the Gemara adduces as a proof. Odehu hatal alehen. If the dew was still upon them. The beginning of this Tosefta, if I'm not mistaken, talks about a person brought his fruit up to the roof to dry. Please take note of that background, because I think it has a lot of relevance. But he brought his fruit up to the roof to dry. So the Gemara is going to talk about a concept called chiyutan. We know that things only conduct tuma if they've been rinsed or made wet. And as we'll see in a moment, there's a halacha that there has to be some cognizance. Well, first of all, they have to be disconnected. Can't be connected to the ground, otherwise everything would be susceptible to tumah. But once produce has been detached from the ground and it's been rinsed, made wet with water or one of the Shiva HaMashkin, so it can become tumah. So we're going to talk about at what point do we need the person's awareness and state of happiness with the fact that it got wet. So, odeyu atal alein, if the dew is still upon them, upon the fruit of simach, and he was happy. Hareze b'chiyutan. This is included in kiyutan. Okay, this would be considered that the pasuk says in Parashat Shmini, I have the Torah or Hashalim here. It actually spells the whole pasuk out. V'chiyutan mayim alzera, when water will be put on, let's say vegetation, v'nafam and nivlasam olav, and then the carcass of something impure falls on them. Tameh hu lochem, it's tameh. Okay, so the Torah, it's right out of the pasuk in the Torah, it indicates that when water is placed upon produce, that's what makes it susceptible to becoming tameh. So if while the dew was still on them, the person was happy, that's included in chiyutan. That's included in halacha, but it would be.
And is this a ksiv or the way it's pronounced? Or is this
whole that's exactly what's coming up. And nigvu, if they dried, afal pi, the negev is a dry place, negev means to dry. Nigvu, if they got wet, but now they've already dried, afal pi shesimach, even though he was happy, einan b'chiyutan, turning to chapez, then it's not included in chiyutan. In other words, we know that he's pleased with the fact that they were wet, but he only shows that after they're already dry. While they were still wet, he never has that emotion. So apparently there's some criterion that we need that he is pleased with the fact that they're wet. They got wet, they dried, and then he says, oh, thank goodness they were wet. I'm so happy about that. It's good that they got a good rinse. So that does not suffice.
It's not prepared for the.
So yeah, that's not considered huchshar l'tum. So the Gemara says, oh, so you see, the fact that somebody has an attitude later, shows his das later, does not work retroactively to say, well, so that's what he would have felt before, and therefore it's good enough. Sounds like yishalomi das. Later, we know that the person was miyayish. He gave up hope of finding his object. So that would have been his attitude if he had known earlier. He wasn't aware of the fact that he dropped it earlier. But when he was aware, this was his attitude. When the person was told that the fruits got wet, he was pleased. Yet, it's not good enough. Oh, so the Gemara presents this as a question on Rava. Taima mai, says the Gemara on the top line of Chof Beis and Beis. What's the reason? Lav mishum de lo amrinan. Isn't it because we don't say, you'll pardon the double negative, but Isn't it because we don't say Kevin de Gloy Milsa de Hashta Nichale mi Karanami Nichale? Isn't it that we don't say there's no Gilui Milsa? The fact that he is now pleased does not indicate that he was pleased originally. Bays, three lines from the top, working the Gemara's next proof. So clearly the Gemara means that as a question on Rava, because Rava seems to hold that you do work with a retroactive indication. Yish Shalom Midas is Yish. Answers the Gemara, Shiny Hasan, it's different there. There is different. Dechsiv Ki Yitain.
They're
regarding Tumah. Regarding the Hashem for Tumah, it's different. Because the Torah says, and this is the way it's spelled, Ki Yitain. When it will be put, or when he will put. Ad Shayitain, from which we derive. The halacha is not effective achit until he actively puts water on the produce. Now, the person speaking in the Gemara here didn't really finish his sentence. He doesn't really mean that, but the way some, I think even Rishonim explains, like he was interrupted, and somebody asked, Ihachi, if so, reishanami. So, if you have to... here's the thing. In the Torah, it's written, ki yitain. Yud Tav Nun. We have a tradition how to pronounce it. Israel mentioned a second ago. There's the question of the Mikra or the Masorah. We know the way it's supposed to be read is Yutan. Yutan means to put. He will put. Yutan means it was put. So the Gemara, in answering why this is not comparable to Yishlamidah, says, look, it's spelled Ki Yitan, from which we derive you have to actively put. Yutan means to put. Yutan means to be placed. So you have to actively put it. The Gemara interrupts and says, you have to actively place it. So why did the beginning of this Tosefta say that if he was happy with the fact that the water fell there? He didn't make the dew fall there. He was just happy with the fact that it was there. I thought you just told me, ki yitain, tuma is only conducted when you actively put the water there. So we respond. Answer, kidrav papa. The answer is like rav papa rami. Because rav papa rami means literally to... throw, it means when you throw two sources at each other. Ksiv ki yitain, it's written ki yitain, that's the way the word is spelled, yutaf nun, vikarinan, and we read it ki yutan, when it shall be placed. Haketzad, how can this be reconciled? How is this? Answer, bo inan ki yutan, dum yudachi yitain. We need it being placed as if, or in a way that's similar to him actively placing it. You don't actually have to place the water there, but it has to be placed there in a way that's similar to as if you had placed it there. How so? Ma yitain ladas, af ki yutan nami ladas. Just like when you place something there, it's with your cognizance. So too, the yutan of this pasuk has to be with your awareness. You don't have to actually do it, but it has to be with your awareness. So Hechsher for Tumah is different. It was posed as a question to Rava, and we're saying, no, there's a special lima there, there's a special derivation from
but
the...
But in the beginning he said he did it, he was happy, so he had to do with his knowledge, right?
Right. Okay. Interestingly, elsewhere we have this Gemara, it uses the word nichale. Ma yitain de nichale, af yitain de nichale. Let's just take a quick peek at Rashi, on Amud Aleph. Six lines from the bottom. When the dew was still upon them, yes, I mentioned what I thought was the beginning of Tosefta, and Rashi quotes it. Hamala peros of legag, one who brought up his fruits to the roof. I think in the Tosefta it says to dry, but I'm not sure. V'yarad aleihan atal, and the dew fell upon them. V'simach, and he was happy. Batal shiarad aleihan, he was happy with the dew that fell upon them. Harezeh b'chiyutan, this is included in Kiyutan. V'huchsharu l'tumah me'atav yad alam. Mm-hmm. And they have been made prepared, susceptible, ready for Tumah from now and onward. Once something is Hukshar L'Tumah, it remains that way permanently. Nigvu Ad Shalom Mitza'an. If they dried, in Hebrew you use the negative, you say before he didn't find them. In English you say before he did. Ad Shalom Mitza'an, before he found them. In other words, once you're aware of something, you have to have an attitude toward it. Well, sir, your fruit got wet. So either he approves or he doesn't approve. Either he's happy or he's disappointed. So Rashi is saying when the second case of the Tosefta means that he only became aware of it after they dried. He finds out they had been wet after they've already dried. So then, Afal Pishasima, even though he was happy, Achshav, now he's happy about Betal Shiyar Aleyan, about the dew that had fallen upon them, turning the page. Einan
B'chiyutan. Why would he be happy that dew fall on them?
A little rinse.
And just a rinse?
Yeah, the truth is, I think that's a big question.
I mean, he knows it's going to be Tuma. I mean, the person, if he learned Gemara, he knows that if it falls on, he'll be susceptible now to Tuma.
Right.
Unless he wants to keep him fresh. I mean,
yeah, I think it has to. There's other places in the Gemara, in Chulin, which we'll quote soon. A person's hands get wet when he's in the process of doing something only incidentally, or he actually wanted to rinse his hands. Maybe it keeps the fruit a little bit fresh. But I think that's a very important question because of the following. It's somewhat striking to me that in the previous sugya, everybody wants to know, why is that like Rava's case? Rava's case of Yeh Shalomidas is a davar she'ein bo simen. Right, we did start out in the Gemara. We said when something is a davar sheyesh bo simen, then Rava agrees. Yesh shalom idas is not yesh. In other words, it's only when we anticipate, it's to be expected that he'll give up. Then the fact that he only knows about it later is not a chesaron. It's if he knew about it earlier. But when it's something where you wouldn't anticipate he would give up, like an object that has a simen, I lost an object, but I'll get it back. I have identifying characteristics to adduce. So then Rava agrees. So in the proofs that we bring, the Rishonim question, gee, why is that like a Devar She'ein Bo Simen? Right, we had this last week with regard to a Truma, right? His Shliach or not his Shliach, depending on how you learn the Gemara there. But somebody went ahead and tithed your produce from high quality produce. And is it with your approval or not? And Tosfos, on Amud Aleph, toward the bottom here, Tosfos Im Yesh Yafos Man, a few words in, asked the question, that case, he's happy, but maybe he's only happy later. I found out you took off Truma for me from my produce over there in the silo or whatever it is, but maybe I'm only happy now. Who says that indicates what I felt earlier? Same thing with a lost object. I might be Miyayish, but that might be now. That doesn't necessarily indicate what I felt before. It's only when it's to be expected, like an object that has no simen. I lost something that has no simen on it. We expect you will give up, and therefore we consider as if you gave up hope now. That was a question with regard to Truma. The answer, in fact, is not so simple. It's interesting to me, all of the Rishonim raised the question there. When it comes to the next sugya, the one we're doing now, one can ask the same question. He was happy when he finally heard that his fruits had gotten wet. He was happy. Who says that would have been his attitude earlier? Add to that, I actually marked it for myself. If you look at the Maram Shif in the back of the Gemara, the first Maram Shif on Amud Beis, the Maram Shif is in early Achron. It says, Gemara, time of my lab, Mishim de Larmin. He says, Hayanir lechalek. You're comparing Tuma to Yeh Shalom Idas, it would appear logical to distinguish. This is different from the case of Yish because it wasn't to be expected. Omed lakach, standing for this, means destined for this. You lose an object with no simen on it, you're destined to be miayish. So Rava considers as if you're miayish already. Listen to this. He says, here's the Paris. He brought up his fruits to the roof to dry them. If you bring up your fruits to the roof to dry them, I don't know that we should expect you'll be happy when they get wet. It's again, I didn't check, but I think in the Tosefta it actually says Liavshon, which makes it interesting. So the Maram Shif just puts that out there, like this is more like a Davar Sheyesh Bo Simen. When you're ultimately Miyayish, but it wasn't to be anticipated, Rava does not hold of Yeh Shalom Idas. If you're ultimately, you were happy when something happened, but it's not what we would have anticipated your happiness, so that's not what we're talking about. Rava agrees in that case. You're presenting this as a kash on Rava. Rava, look at this. We don't say it retroactively indicates what his attitude was. Maybe because it was not to be expected here. So, did I make a copy of this? Yes, I did. I only have a couple of these packets. I have one here. Nothing complicated tonight. I'm just learning. But if you look, the second page is a copy right out of the Shita Mikubetzes. Shita Mikubetzes is a collection of Rishonim, and he adds some of his own commentary as well, Tzar Ashkenazi. Somebody from this community was giving Shmuel Kamenetsky a ride somewhere, and they pulled up behind a car that had a lot of bumper stickers in the back. So the driver, somebody you know, said, this person looks like a Baal Shita, means he's opinionated. You know, all kinds of, Rav Shmuel said he looks like a Shita Mikubetzes. Anyway, so Shita Mikubetzes is a collection. The last piece on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, the last full paragraph on this page, Nogvu Af Bishisim Achein B'chiyutan. So he quotes the Ritzvash, which I believe is the Rivash, Yitzchak Bar Sheshes, Talmud of the Ran. So he addresses this. It's interesting. I don't think so many other Rishonim do. Perish v'koshel Rava is explaining our Gemara. He says the Gemara means this as a question on Rava. Rava, you hold that retroactively it's like there was a year, so why over here don't we say retroactively it's like his happiness with the fact that his fruit got wet counts. V'koshelly, I have this as a difficulty. The Hamoda Rava b'davar sheyesh bo siman. Rava agrees. Rava agrees with the Abaye when you're talking about an item that has a siman. And what's the logic of that? The cave in the stame lo have a yish, since the assumption is that there isn't yish. Afilu ki amar lebesop aferish miyashna, even when he says at the end, I'm miyayish, lo have a yish, it's not yish. So Rava agrees in a case where it's not to be anticipated. V'hacha ledavar sheyesh bo simen dam. Here it's similar to something that has a simen. D'haba inan denichale. We need for him to be pleased with it. And who says he is? Since he brought them up to the roof and left them there, it's more similar to something that doesn't have a simon. The yish is to be anticipated. The happiness with the fact it got wet is to be anticipated. Even though we need that. We need that as a criterion that he's pleased with it. But it's to be assumed. It's to be assumed. I really should have done my homework and checked the Tosefta and Machshirin. Gentlemen, for homework, check if it says that he brought him up to the roof to dry. If it says in the Tosefta that he brought him up to the roof to dry, check if there are alternate versions of the Tosefta. Because he brought him up to dry, it seems very strange. The Maram Shus contention seems more logical. But the Rivash is saying, if he brought him up to dry, he anticipates they're going to get wet, and he's cool with that. But it's just interesting. That's a very important question. And the other sugya, that was the question everybody was asking. And here, the Maram Shif leaves it as a difficulty. Maram Shif basically says he would have an answer to the Gemara's challenge. And why didn't the Gemara say that? And the Rivash says, because actually we can assume the guy is happy. Not so clear why. Anyway, let me just finish the Rashis here. We don't say Kaven the Hashta Nicha, since now he is happy. Mahani Hai Daitel Lmiikaravitavihakshir. This das of his works from the beginning, and it should be considered hakshir, meaning ready for Tuma Vikoshal Rava. And it's a kasha on Rava. Answers the Gemara, Ksiv ki yitain. It's written ki yitain, velo ksiv ki yutan. It doesn't say Kiyutan. What's Rashi adding? Could be he wants to emphasize just the spelling, or he's saying something more, I'm not sure. So we make a limud. It's Yutan with an aspect of Yitain. So just like when you do something, it's Ladas, Shiyoda ben Asina, he knows about the placement, Vahukshar ba'enav, and it was proper in his eyes. It's usually when you do something, it's because you wanted it. Ve'odehu atalalein. I'm sorry, this is already on the limud. Just like yitain is ladas, so too yutan is ladas. It's considered as if it's still in his state of having placed it there. So, by the way, there's actually a similar Gemara toward the end of the parak on Daf Lamed. The Mishnah says when you find a cloak or a garment, so there's certain directives how you take care of it, that it should stay fresh and in good shape. And the Mishnah says, he's allowed to spread it out for its purpose. He's airing out this garment, whatever it is, but not for his own needs. If I want to show off, I have a fancy drape. It's not mine. It's one that I found. I can't hang it out just for my own purposes. I can hang it out for its purposes. So the Gemara has a question. What about if it's for both? I do want to air out this sheet, mm-hmm. this cloak. But it also, I am having guests over, and it's a very nice piece of material.
You shouldn't have come out, right?
So the Gemara tries to cite various proofs one way or other. A few lines in, the Gemara cites the following. I'll read a few lines here. Toshma hechnisa l'revoka v'dosha k'sheira. It's talking about an egra rufa, if I recall correctly, yeah. So an egra rufa cannot have worked. It's ashalo uvadba. So you brought it under a what's the double thing called? A
yoke.
Yeah, you brought it under a yoke, and it threshed. So ksheira, that it's still kosher. Bishvil shatinak v'tidosh psula. In the first case, he didn't mean for it to start threshing. In the second one, it was for two purposes. It was put there so it could nurse, but also so that it would thresh, then it's puzzle. So he's doing something that's for his need and for the animal's need, but his need is problematic. So the Gemara's trying to cite a proof from that you have two intentions, one which would be problematic, one that isn't. How do we view that in halacha? So would that be similar to airing out a mitziah for its purpose, but also for your own honor? So the Gemara says, "Shiny hasim to amakra shelo uvad ba mikol makom." It says that it wasn't worked with it. Ihachi afilu reishanami. So if it can't have worked at all, so why is it okay even if you didn't work it deliberately? The Reisha said if it threshed but you didn't want that, then it's okay. If you wanted it but you also had another purpose in mind, that's where it's a problem. So the Gemara says, and this leads us into a series of these, Halo dami al hadatan shachan ala of ksheira ala ala zachar psula. We're talking about a paraduma, if a bird happened to rest on it, so the paraduma is supposed to be asher lo ala ala ha'ol. But it has to be, you put a yoke on it, and you wanted it. So if it's ala ala zachar, it breeds, so then the owner is happy with that. That's psula. So Rav Papa says, what's the difference? Like Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, it's the same Rav Papa who speaks in Argamar. If it had said, Uvad, Dama Rav Papa, Iksiv, Uvad, Vikarina, Uvad, if it was spelled that way and pronounced that way, Havamina, Filum, Amela, it was worked. Regardless of what your attitude was toward that work, it was worked. Viksiv, Avad, Vikarina, Avad, and if it was spelled Avad, and that was how it was pronounced, Havamina, Ad, Avad, Ba'ihu, I would think it has to be that he actually worked it. Hashd, Dachsiv, Avad, Vikarina, Uvad, Avad. So now it's like we have this in a few places. The Gemara like makes a merged shot. Ma avad de nichale af uvad de nichale. Just like when you work something, it's nichale, it's something you want. So too, if it gets worked, but if it gets worked in such a way that it's pleasing to the owner, to the person, that's where it's problematic. Okay? I actually put on the front of the source sheets. Ksava Kabbalah, one of those great 19th century Sfarim on Chumash, that his own deta was to help people have faith in the Mesorah of Chazal. And he was an older contemporary of the Malbim, who does a similar thing. So he talks about this Actually, I think in a few places in his commentary, but just as an aside to point out, on the pasuk in Shemini that says v'chiyutan mayim, he says l'rabba seinu yutan dumi d'chiyitan. Our chachamim say it's yutan has to be similar to yitan. Ma yitan de nichalayaf yutan de nichalayaf. That's the girsa in the Gemara in Kedushin. In our Gemara, it's midas, but it's the same thing. He says the lashon yutan memela mashmel fi kriyasa. The word yutan has the connotation memela. Memela means it happens automatically, is the word, mm-hmm. but it means without your mm-hmm. intervention. Yutan, it was placed. Mm-hmm. So the way it's kriyasa, the way we have the tradition to pronounce it, it means it happened, not you did it. V'chein amru ala shelo uvad ba. Iksiv avar ad avar. Ihu, he did it. Iksiv uvar afilu memela. This would imply you do it. This would imply it just happened. You have a word that combines both. If you combine the way it's written and the way you pronounce it, hash dechsiv avad v'karina uvad dumya da avad. Ma avad da nichalei, af uvad da nichalei. And he goes on to explain this. He says, because all these words could have been written with the vav. There are places in Tanakh, and he shows you a few, where you have that form of a word, and it's with the vav. What he says is, Darshinan hamikra dumya de mesaras v'yiskayimu shneim. In fact, I think it's Sotos Rabbeinu Peretz says this. There are places where we get into yeshem hamikra, yeshem hamesaras, which override, which is more significant, the way the word is written or the way the word is pronounced. But here what he's saying is, here the Torah means for them both. Uvad means worked. How worked? Does it have to be worked with your being pleased by that or not? The fact that it's spelled avad tells you that, yeah, uvad in a way that someone's avad, it combines both. And I like the phrase he uses at the end, v'hamikra mesaras yis achdu v'lo yis pardu. The mikra and the Masara combine. It's only when they seem to be at odds. Your place in the Gemara where, well, the way it's spelled means this, the way it's pronounced means that, and that's where you have to, we have the Yeshem Lamikri, Yeshem Masaras, and so on. But here, they both go together. There is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashi, which are the next two items on this sheet that I gave you that they all talk about. I have no great insight into this machlokas, but perhaps you do.
Can I ask some questions? Yeah. So, the concept that if he didn't know by the tumah, and he only found out later, it wouldn't make him a kabbal tumah. What about by the power of doom? Would you say the same thing? That if he didn't know that the alala zachar until after it happened, then even though it was nichalei later, since he didn't know it at the time, the power of doom is still kosher?
Yeah, I don't know, because I'll make that drasha. It would sound like, because avad, the same way we say...
it's sort of a parallel case.
Yeah, avad is ladas.
But the missionary doesn't say it. The missionary says, alav zohar, it's no longer going to be useful as far as...
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't make that distinction whether he...
Yeah, but you're right. Yitain is ladas, avad should be ladas. But I don't know if they make that drasha or not. I don't know. I find it here, but not sure. The Rambam in the beginning of the 12th parak of Hilchos Tumas Ochlin, just read it here. Kol devrei hechsher ochlin devrei kabbalah. And all the halachas of how ochel becomes susceptible to tuma is devrei kabbalah, which means it's let's say from the Torah Shabbal Peh. Mipi Hashmuel Lamdu. Had a tradition. When it says in that pasuk in Shemini, when water will be placed on produce, it doesn't matter if it's water or one of the other fluids that are included in the seven fluids. Miles, we still want to know why bilam is plural, but we're patient. But anyway, the word bilam is always plural. But that said, it should be placed with the will of the owner. And after it's been disconnected from the ground, that's a clear and well-known halacha. But the Rambam says it has to be with the will of the owner, the consent of the owner, the will of the owner. The Rashba in Maseches Chulin, which is the next one I put on the source sheet, the Gemara in Chulin there quotes a Mishnah in Machshirin. Some fruit fell into the water, and he's going in and he's reaching into the water to get the fruit. Now the halacha is now for netilas yadayim you don't need kavana. So even though all he's trying to do is get the fruit, he's not trying to wash his hands. He should now be able to say, be able to eat chulin and be able to eat bread. But the Mishnah says that his hand is now, he takes his hand and says, hey, do I have to wash? I don't have to wash anymore. Fantastic. So his hand has become tahar, but and his hands were tummy when he put them in. But the fruit, if I recall correctly, does not become tamei because he had no interest in his hand becoming wet. When his wet tamei hand touched the fruit, he had no interest in it his hand becoming wet. Then the Mishnah said, but if his kavana was sheyudachu, that is, he wanted to rinse his hands. I want to catch that fruit, but I want my hands to become wet. The bottom line of it is, then the fruit does become tame. So the Rashi infers from this, you don't really have to know all that. The point is, the wording of that Mishnah, it sounds like we're not talking about the owner of this fruit. It sounds like it's just, I don't have the words right in front of me, but. Let's see. The Rashi says, "Peirush shenashu tzelach amasa mayim upashat mi." Yeah, the wording is "misha yadav tameos." Somebody whose hands are tame. So it doesn't sound like it's the bialim of the fruit. It sounds like somebody says the Rashi, "But mikan diktaku b'tos was the lo bainim ritzon bialim." From here, they inferred in Tosfos, you don't need the will of the owner. Mi dekamer misha yadav tameos demashma filo acher sheinu bala peirush. Sounds like anybody. The source of all this is because when water will be placed, I'm reading Yutan Dum Yedachiyitin. V'chol hecha dekari Yutan Mashma ve'eze in Shiyutan. This is a little bit of a strange proof. He says, it shall be placed. Water that shall be placed. Sounds like from anybody. Bein al yedei ritzon bailem, bein al yedei ritzon acherim. Water shall be placed. Problem is, the other half of the limit is Dum Yedachiyitin. And Yitain could mean the Bialim, but anyway, and he quotes all these other Gemaras, Bagla Rufa. If you skip down to the last two lines, the Rajba says, though, Aval HaRambam Zal Kosa V'Perak Yud Beishel Tumas Ochlin Echad HaMayim V'Echad Shreshev HaMashkin V'Hushi Yutan Ala Bertzon HaBailim. That's only if it's with the will of the owner. So, I'm not here to get very into it, just some say that the wording of the Mishnah I'm forgetting. Maybe the Kesef Mishnah says this. I don't remember, but I think that if you look at the Kesef Mishnah right alongside the Rambam, I think he says this, that it's not such a strong proof. You want to know how do you answer for the Rambam? He just says. It has to be the owner. It's not logical that someone else's will, it's your fruit, and my intentions or my happiness, the fact that we're going to make it to me. The things that the Rashba quotes are not so clearly indicative. So that later Achronim commenting on it say what he means is it says somebody whose hands were tummy reached in, and that somebody could be the owner. It doesn't sound so much like that, but could be the Rambam felt logically it makes sense that it has to be the owner, and therefore we will have to interpret that when it says somebody sticks his hand in, it means the owner himself. So the Rambam paskins that way, that it's the owner's das and not anybody who happens to touch them that matters. I did make a copy of the notes from Rav Soloveitchik's Shiurim, the Rishima Shiurim by Moshe Nechemia Reichman, whose brother I happened to have been talking to yesterday. I just thought it'd be interesting to see this. With every proof that the Gemara puts forth, you have to go back and think how that really relates to Yishalom Midas. So this is the Rishima Shiurim, just a short, relatively short piece, basically one column that we'll see. Soloveitchik has the following Chakira. I think I spoke about this when we began Yir Shalom Das. When you look at the machlokas between Abaye and Rava, so what really are they arguing about? So there's a number of ways you can say it, but to maybe oversimplify his Chakira, one way to look at it is Yish is what makes the object able to be someone else's. You used to own this object, you lost it, just because you lost something doesn't mean I can take it to Mitzvah Shavas Aveda and it's still yours. Yish makes it become available to everybody else. Yish is what does it. Yish really has to be before, Yish has to be before you find it. And Abaye says, well, therefore, if it wasn't, it's too late. And Rava says, no, the Yish later, it's like it happened earlier. That's their machlokas. Another way to explain it would be that Abaye and Rava are actually arguing about the role of Yish, or maybe I could even say how significant Yish is. Rav Soloveitchik wanted to say that according to Abaye, perhaps, Yish is what makes it yours. Yish is the real process. It belongs to someone else. It's not yours. Oh, it's miyayish. Now, you find it, you keep it. Makes it yours. Whereas Rava might hold, no, the fact that something is lost, you own the things that you have. Something that's lost, that really is what makes it available for other people. But it's almost like there's a t'nai, but there's one added detail that we need. I don't know if he would use the word detail, but it's almost like there's an added condition. To use the lumdish jargon, the way they put it here is really what makes something yours is chalos shame avud. The fact that it has a halachic title, lost. It's sitting out in the field somewhere, it's lost. But there's just one more thing. But we also need, in order to fully concretize that chalos shame avud, you need that the owner gave up. But in other words, according to Rava, it's a detail. Or it's a t'nai, it's a condition, but it's not the very process. So one way to look at it is to say, Abaye says, Yish has to be on time. Because Yish is the whole thing. If you don't have Yish, you don't have anything. So if he's only Miyayish later, after you already found the object and picked it up, it's too late. Whereas Rava might hold, Yish is not the main thing anyway. The main thing is it was lost. So when you found it, it had been lost. I were missing something. You're right, we also need Yish. So if we can check that box, even if it's later, it's good enough. So in other words, according to that explanation, Abaye and Rava are really arguing about what function does Yish play. Abaye holds it plays front and center, it's the real process. And Rava, who's willing to accept Yish Alamidas as being valid, because he holds Yish is not that important anyway. It's the very process has to be done when the process has to be done. But something that's just an outstanding t'nai, a condition that has to be met. So, all right, you satisfy that condition later. Be good enough. So now, Rav Soloveitchik says, so let's plug this sugya into those two ways of understanding. So I'll read a little bit here. On page Chav Zayin, it's the last paragraph there. Yesh la'ayin. Yud lamed ayin is yesh la'ayin. One has to look into the matter. Bever ha-gemara. How to understand this Gemara, this proof that we just read. The Bishlama, Inema, Kafia, Ber, HaPoshet, B'machlokas, Ben Abaye, L'Rava. If we'll explain things according to this simple understanding. The L'Kulei Alma, Yish, Mahava, Hamatir, Mafkia, D'Mamon, Abayon. That everybody agrees, Yish is the process that creates the Matir, that which allows you to take your friend's money. He used to own this, what makes it yours? Yish, and Mafkia, it's what undoes the... You used to possess this item. Yish is what undoes that. So Yish is the whole thing. V'nechleku Abaye v'Rava ichal ha-Yish l'mafreya. And what they're arguing about, Abaye and Rava are split over whether Yish can work retroactively, l'hafkiya mamon ha-bailam, to undo the ownership of the owner. Azai nicha ha-dimyon b'gemara. Then the Gemara's comparison between Yish and Kiyutan is understandable. D'lo amrinan, that we don't say midimidit. Look, when it came to Toma, we don't say his mindset later reveals what he felt before, and that's good enough. So, Rava, why do you say it by Yish, that his mindset later reveals what he felt earlier? V'kasha l'rava. That's a kasha on rava. Ulam l'fimash nisbar. But based on what was we explained in an earlier piece, turning the page, the talking l'farish, that it's quite logical to explain the whole matter differently. The abaya v'rava nechleku begeder hamatir demamun habaylam. What they're really arguing about is what actually makes the item that belongs to someone else that's now lost. What makes it yours? Ha'im etzem shem avud mahava hamatir. Is it the very title, the very fact that it is lost? That's the real matter, which he writes parenthetically, svaras rava, that's, which would be what rava holds. Mishum hachi mo'al yir shalom idas lochol mafrei l'hashmalim v'ligmar ha'shem avud b'cheftza. And therefore yish can work l'mafrei, because yish is just sort of sealing the deal, but it's not really the key process. Or, and this is going to be abaye, demaisa ha'yish mahava ha'matir. No, yish is the process. Svaras abaye, that's abaye's logic. Mishum hachi svirlei the yish shalom idas lo have a yish, and that's why he holds yish lo midas is not yet yish. The lo chal das makniv, of course, a bailus lo mafreya, because the thing that makes possession go from person A to person B, the process itself, das makna, undoing of ownership, that can't happen retroactively. If you tell me, this is not literally the way to look at it, but if you say 90% of the process is just the fact that it's lost, but we also got to be able to say that there was yish, okay, so then that can work retroactively. But if you tell me the process really is yish, yish is what makes it go from person A to person B, then the yish can't be l'mafreya. The yish has to be when it's got to be. So, yeah.
I don't want to slow it down. We've said the hakir a few times. Each time I feel like slaying it a little bit differently. Not the 90% versus 10%. Yeah. But is it a transactional makne type of thing, in which case you have to actually consciously be doing it? Or is it defining the circumstances? Is something very avud, is something so lost that it's, you know, by analogy to like avud we call avud, this is not avud we call avud, but by analogy to that, is it so lost for me? So first of all, I lost it. Second of all, I'm even giving up about it. So it doesn't really matter whether I had kavana to give up about it or whether we can just assess, well, somebody in this circumstance would clearly give up about it. Oh, so that helps define it as being lost. But there's nothing transactional that I need to do but kavana.
Right. I mean, yeah, 9 to 10 is not really the way to say it. In other words, yeah, is Yish just defining, helping to further define his circumstance but not the process?
Right.
Like you said, the transaction, the halachic process has to be before you pick it up. And the halachic process can be in response to the fact that it's avud, and yish just helps to define that it's avud, or yish makes it happen.
But if you pick it up, you have obligation to return it. So now the things kicked in, right?
Right, that's what this has because to be
before. Because there's no yish, right?
Yeah, but I think what Steve
right.
was saying is...
Right, before. It's lost.
Yeah, is yish really, you know, there are transactions we do in halacha. You give someone money, that's what makes things happen. Or there's background information that makes a certain circumstance. So being avud and yish... helping to guarantee that it's avud is very different from yush as an act, yush being similar to a real transaction or something like that. Yeah. Says Rav Soloveitchik as follows: Im kain tsarachi. Rav Soloveitchik holds that's actually more compelling to say that Abaye and Rav are arguing over just that. What kind of a role does yush play? Im kain sarchi in ma'i kushus ha-gemara. So what's the Gemara's question? D'mahu ha-dimyun bein din hechsher peres l'kabbalas tumul l'machlokas abaye v'rova v'yish l'mi does. I believe what he means is if you're questioning Rava, you're saying, Rava, this chiyutan is a kasha on you. If we'll assume that when it comes to chiyutan, the process of making these peros susceptible to tumah is putting the water, is putting, let's say, the owner putting water on them, the owner rinsing them. All right, so that didn't really happen. He only found out about it later. So did the process happen or not? But if what Rava is saying is Yish is not the process, then how's that similar to... What are you asking? With regard to this is the real halachic process. What Rava is saying in response to Abaye is, no, I disagree. Yish is not the halachic process. once it's over, the halachic process is happening. Yish is sort of just to fully define the circumstances. So what he says is, the answer is going to be, no, tumah doesn't work the way you think it does. V'nira dehafshir mayim eino din ba'alma b'kabbalas tumah. It's not just a general halacha in kabbalas tumah. El dehafshir mayim gomer es Hashem ochel shebeperi. What becomes tumah? Ochlin. Tumas ochlin. It's from the Rambam's Hilchos, tumas ochlin. In halacha, something becomes defined as a food. It really means a food susceptible to tumah, but it's called a food when it's been rinsed. It was really a food, but it wasn't. You know, it didn't have the makah b'patish. It didn't have the final process. So that's the way to view it. Rinsing it is the completion. Gomer Hashem ochel shebeperi v'lachein hochshar peri al yedei mayim kabbalas tumah. Ulefi hasalka daita, according to the Gemara's Hava Mina Yesh Din, there's a halacha, the EF Shishiyochel Hechsher Mayim Bal Krochem Shalabailam. That can't happen against the owner's will. Ulefigach Tzarach Hutzona Bailam Shalol Akev is Gemara Chaloshem Ochel Beperi. And therefore you need his will. Vim Kain Shavah Din Zelish. If you'll tell me that the two processes in their respective realms are similar, Yish finishes the definition of this item is lost, it's forlorn gegangen. It's totally lost, and rinsing it finishes the title. This is a fully ready food. It was a food, but not a food. So, if we see over here, no, you need das for that process to happen, and it doesn't work. L'mafreya, so you need das for that process to happen. It doesn't work. L'mafreya. V'im kain shava din zeli yish baveda liba derava the ef shel akachas aveda bal karcha shel abaylan ubayinin yish ligmar chalos shem aveda gemura bachifsa. Okay. The year Shalom does have a year. Hachan Amitzrach Lama Din Linyan Chalos Shem Peri Aydin Sina as a Maim Lertzona Diyo Lama Freya. Rav, if you're right, it should work Lama Freya over there. Mida Eino Bal Karach Veino Ma'akev Es Chalos Shem Ocho Shavere Kama Baveda. So what's the Gemara's response? Vaga, the bottom paragraph there. Vaga Mara Docha Diyesh Din Ki Yutan Dumi Dachi Yiten. No, we derive from this careful reading of the words that chiyutan has to be similar to ki yitain. Ma yitain ladas, af kiyutan ladas, veber din zanira, debainan das lechoshev ki iluhu nasan hamashka ala peres lechshin lekabotuma. No, we need das in order for it to be considered as if he put water on the fruits. Umishum hachi bainan kiyutan dumya de chiyitain. This is a special halacha here. He has to rinse the fruit. There's like a leniency within that if it had his das, it's like he did it. But here there's a special halacha. It's not that way by Yish. The Lefi Rava Eina Yish Mahava Etzem Hamatzir the moment of Bailam. Yish is not what makes it permissible. The Etzem Hamatzir Chal Yadei Chalos Shem Aveda Bechefza. The Yish Eino Chal Al Kadil Hashlem Es Chalos Shem Avud Bechefza. Mishamachis Fila the Rav the Chal Yish the Mafreya. So, with regard to Tumah, it's more central to the process, which is not the case with regard to Aveda. Interestingly, if you look at the page before, the way he said it is really a little bit the way that it sounded in the Ritva. I'm just remembering the first piece on Chof Beis Amid Beis. It's the Shita Mikabetz quoting the Ritva. By the way, when the Shita quotes the Ritva, it's what we call the old Ritvas. What for a long time Rishonim cited as the Ritva. It's now assumed that the other one is actually him, and this is a different Rishon. Mm-hmm. But the Ritva quote, citing the Ritva Yishanim, bottom of that first page in the Shita Mikabetz I gave out. Shiny hasn't the chesiv ki yitain perish uba inan denichale b'shas nefila mamish. We need that he is pleased with it at the time when the water falls. V'lo gamrina min al alma. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, why don't we derive from that to everywhere else? If here you have a process and it's not good enough, if you're happy about it later, so anywhere where we need to know your attitude, why don't we say it's not good later? The hasam hu mishum The Akel Barachmana Lahakhsha Afilin Afila Shalodas Klaal, the Kavan the Kane, Tsarach the Nichle Baodamach Shemias. It's interesting, it's like a kula that brings to a chumra. Really, this is a process that you should be doing. You have to do this. The Torah makes a leniency. It's really a process you should be doing, but even if you don't do it, it's okay. But once that's the case, but at least, so you at least have to be aware of it. But it's a special halacha by Tuma, and therefore not a question on Rava. If you skip to the end of that piece, the last two lines, by the way, he says, "V'hachal kumei alma darshin and mikra umasaras dehala sasri adadi ela kolchad v'chad perusha lachavrei," which is exactly what the Ksav HaKabbalah was saying. Here, it's not that we're choosing the way the word is written over the way it's pronounced, the way it's pronounced over the way it's written. Here, they work together. It has to be placed. Well, what are the details of how it has to be placed? Since it's spelled chaser, it has to be placed in a way that's similar as if you had placed it, which means it was placed with your awareness and, so to speak, consent or happiness. Okay. Let's maybe just do a little bit further in the Gemara, and then we'll wrap it up. But the final proof, and it's so interesting that this one carries the day, because when you look at it, it's hard to understand why, but I guess we're like eight lines down on Chav Beis and Beis. Tashma, Da'am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum, it probably should read Rabbi Shimon instead of Rabbi Shmuel. There's apparently Parat Yosef on this. In the Masoret Shas, he changes. It says it's supposed to be Rabbi Shimon, and the Parat Yosef in the back talks about it. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadik, Minayin LaAveda Sheshotfa Nar Shehimu Teres. How do you know that an Aveda that got washed away by the river is permissible? Meaning you find it, you can keep it, and it's even if it has a simanah, Dechsiv. Because it says in the Parsha of Hashem's Aveda, V'chein ta'asa l'chamoru, V'chein ta'asa l'simlosa, V'chein ta'asa l'chol Aveda z'chicha, Asher tovad mimenu umetzasa. So shall you do to his donkey, so shall you do to his garments, so shall you do to any lost object of your brother that shall be lost from him, and you find it. So, we're talking about a lost object. You don't have to say that it's lost from him. Lost objects are lost from their owner. So, as Rashi points out, it's extra words. Rashi in the fourth line says, "Menu kro yaseiruhu." It's extra word. Lashmu inan she'enu avit elohimenu. The Torah, our sages understood in their wisdom that the extra words here are to make a point. You have to do a show of when something's lost from him, but only when it's lost from him. If it happens to be more lost than that, you don't have to do Ashava Saveda. Misha Avuda Heimenu Umetsuya Etzel Kol Adam. Somebody that's lost from him, but it's found, it's available to other people. Yatsa Sazusha Avuda Heimenu Veina Metsuya Etzel Kol Adam. To the exclusion of this, where the river washed away, nobody can use it. It's totally lost. You save something from a hopeless situation. That wasn't just lost from the owner, it was lost to everybody. There's no mitzvah shavas aveda in that case. Okay, that's a halacha. Now here comes the proof. V'isura dumya dehetera. And isra is similar, the isra should be viewed as similar to heter. Ma hetera bein de isposim and bein de lesposim and shara. Af isura bein de isposim and bein de lesposim and asura. So I'll say it the way Rashi says it. This halacha, that when something is lost, not only from the owner, but from humanity, it's lost from everybody, and you find it, you're allowed to keep it, that's what we call hetera. We're talking about where you're allowed to keep an object. So, that object, you're allowed to keep it, whether it has a simon or not. Oh. So the flip side, which is where something is not lost to all of humanity, it's only lost from its owner, which is a case of isser, that's where you're not allowed to keep it, that's where you have to return it. So if the case of heter applies whether it has a simon or not, the case of Isser applies whether it has a simon or not. You may not keep this object whether it has a simon or not. Hold on, if it has a simon, I know why I can't keep it. When something has a simon, you have to return it. But why is there such a thing that if something doesn't have a simon and I still can't return it? Oh, Eureka! It's because I picked it up before the owner discovered it. So, Yish, Shalom, Yidah, Slav, Yish. It's a very strange proof. Rashi calls this a hekesh. If you look in Rashi, the first narrow line, Yisuru Dum Yedetera, Kevin de Mechad Kro Yalfinan. Since from one pasuk we learn Mitzuya Etzel Kol Adam Sheyachzer V'Sheina Mitzuya Yizkaba, the fact that when it's available to people, you have an obligation to return it, and then when it's not available to people, you're allowed to be zoche in it, you're allowed to keep it. Iskusha Iskush LaHadadi. They are, it's a hekesh. They're compared to each other. Zula Yisuru Zula Hatera. This for Isra, this for Hatera. So this applies whether it's simon or not. This applies whether it's simon or not. How can there be such a thing where I'm not allowed to keep it, even though it has no simon? Must be Yish Shalom Yidas Lo Have a Yish. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. So a number of Rishonim said they don't understand. There's no hekesh here. Where do we derive this? It's true. If you'll ask me, is there a halacha that when it's lost to humanity, you're allowed to keep it? Yes. Is there a halacha when it's not lost to everyone, you have to return it? Yes.
How can you combine them?
But is there really, are there two phrases in a pasuk that refer respectively to those two things? No, I'm sorry. I have in these Naradaga Gemara quotes on the side. The Shita Mekubet says, he says, "Hatos was koshalam." You'll see in a moment. Tos was a different shot. You probably don't have this in your Gemara, but Al Pirush Rashi, "Halav Hakeshahu." It's not a hekesh. Elamiut. Where did this all come from? Asher tovad mi menu. You have a mitzvah a Shabbos Aveda when this object is lost from him, lost from the owner, from which we derive, but not if it's lost from everybody else. But we don't have two phrases. Not as if there's a pasuk that says, when something is lost from the owner, you should do a Shabbos Aveda, and when it's lost from everybody, you don't have to do a Shabbos Aveda. The Torah never says that. It's a derivation. From the fact that the Torah says, you should do this mitzvah when it's lost from the owner, we derive, but if it's lost in a worse way, you don't have to do a Shabbos Aveda. But how do you make a hekesh for something that's unstated? Hekesh usually is when you have two things stated explicitly. That's one difficulty they have with Rashi. So if you look at Tosfos, interesting, they don't say Pirush HaKuntras and ask this question and then give their own shot. But Tosfos is offering, right at the outset, they're offering a different explanation, and the Rishonim say this is why. Isura Dumya Dehatera, says Tosfos, Ma Shematir Avudim Menu Mikol Adam. We just had a limud. When something is totally lost, not just from the owner, but it's lost from everybody, you're allowed to have it. You're allowed to keep it. What that halacha is matir, what it permits, Al Karchach Lo Itzrach Krab Yado Misyayesh. Let's think about this. I don't need a special limud to tell me that if somebody knows that his stuff is getting washed away down the river, that I'm allowed to keep it. Well, he knows, and he's miyayish. That's an old halacha. Even if it's something that's accessible, a guy dropped his object walking up Montgomery Avenue here, but he knows about it, and he gave up hope. I'm allowed to keep it, even though it's accessible to people. It's not in some hopeless circumstance. So, ella lo itzruch ella kilo yada. So therefore, the whole chiddush of this drasha, this special halacha, when it's lost from everyone, you're allowed to keep it. The chiddush of that, what's novel about that, is when he doesn't know about it. So the case of Heter, that the Torah is really teaching me something about, is the case where he doesn't know. So then if you say, Yisura Dumya de Hetera, so the case of Isser, where the Torah also has something to teach me, is when he doesn't know. So when he doesn't know, there's still a case where it's prohibited. What's the case where he doesn't know and it's prohibited? Yishalomidas.
But you could take it just the opposite. You see, the Tera case is also a case of Yishalomidas. When it's lost from him and lost from everyone else, he doesn't know it's lost from him yet. The other guy could find it before he knows it's lost from him. And the other guy gets to keep it. So it's a right Yishalomidas. It's good Yish. It's a riot for
Rava,
not against
Rava. Well, in a case where it's hopelessly
the
lost.
The Pasha case, where the Ramayah, the case where it's hopelessly lost, right?
Right, but the wording of the Gemara is...
So Tosha says, and you didn't have to tell me the case where it's hopelessly lost and he saw it. You teach me the case where it's hopelessly lost and he didn't see it yet. So you didn't see it yet, but I found it. I get to keep it.
But one second. That's the case of Hetera. Right. Which we allow to keep. And the Gemara says, Isuri Dumya de Hetera.
But before you get to that side, but from the Hetera side of the case, you're going to learn that Yesh Lomidat is good Yesh.
But that's what Avudim Kaladim.
Fine, but still, the only reason.
But what if it's not hopelessly lost? That's a different halacha then. This halacha only applies when it's lost from everyone. But if it's not, then that variable changes things.
Yeah, but if you say that you need a process of yesh, all right. So as you say, so the process of yesh shalom das works when it's a rudim kolodim. But there really is a yesh shalom das there.
Right. Well, the following might clarify. I just have one point to make. We'll wrap it up very shortly. It seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that Rashi is l'shitaso. Rashi could not have learned like Tosfos because Rashi is consistent. I think we mentioned this at one other time. This halacha, forgetting about the proof for a second, just the halacha that when something is avuda mikol adam, it's not lost just from the owner, but it's lost from everybody, you're allowed to keep it. There's a machlokas rishonim, whether that is a yish halacha or just a special gzeiros hakosuf. We've mentioned this. Some learn, what's the logic of that law? I don't know. There's a halacha, when something is totally lost, you don't have a mitzvah shavas aveda. Nothing to do with yish, but if it's shot for nahar, you don't have a mitzvah shavas aveda. Others learn, that is the Torah's example of a yish, shalom yidas, that everybody agrees to. Mm. A forced yish. Whether you had yish or not, that is yish. In fact, Rashi and Bava Kama Daf Samach Vav, which is an omud that we spoke about at some length, when the Gemara mentions the concept of when something is lost and there's yish, so you can keep it, Rashi says there, in Meruba, in this Yashu Balam Kodam Shemitzazef, the owner gave up before he found it, before the finder found it, Kana, he acquires it, Detanya Be'elam Metzias, because we learned in Elam Metzias, and now Rashi is about to quote our Gemara here with a few extra words. Minayim la'aveda shishot fanar. From where do we know that an aveda gets washed away by the river? Ho'ol v'nisyashu ha'baylam shehimu teres. Since the owner gives up hope, that therefore he's, the item is permissible. So Rashi calls that ho'ol v'nisyashu ha'baylam. If you look, some Rishonim, when they want to say, where does concept of Yish come from? Many Rishonim point to a Gemara in the Chav Zayin, which seems to derive it actually from the word similar. It says Chamor, Shor, similar, the four things mentioned in the Parsha of Hashavas Aveda, and from the word similar, one of the things that have I'm even getting confused. That's Simonim. I'm sorry, I got confused. But they point to a different source for Yish. But Rashi says the source of Yish, that who says there's such a thing as Yish making things permissible, is this. So, I think what's happening here, and in fact, in Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, so he sort of speaks this out in explaining what Tosfos means. What Tosfos is saying is, this special halacha, that when something is avuda mikol adam, it's permissible, has to be telling me something new. And if you're talking about a case where the guy knows, that's yish, and we know yish already. So this has to be telling me something new. What's new? It's new in a case where he doesn't even know about it. Oh, so that's the case we're talking about, so that's, we'll make a derivation to the case of Heter. But according to Rashi, you wouldn't say we already knew about yish, because according to Rashi, this is the source for a concept of Yish. This is an extreme Yish. We have machloks and where else Yish applies. But according to Rashi, you want to know that the Torah maintains such a concept of Yish as relinquishing ownership of the owner. It comes from here. This is the extreme Yish. When somebody's stuff is being washed away by the river, he's miyayish, even if he happens to say he's not, there's an assumed automatic Yish. That's the source of Yish. So I'm not sure that Rashi would agree with the wording. If you want to say, you're not telling me anything new if you're talking about a case where he knows about it, because that's plain old Yish. Rashi would never say that, because according to Rashi, this is Yish. So I think only Tosfos could explain this Gemara the way they do. Whereas Rashi has to learn it differently. So Rashi learns as a hekesh. I don't know if this is really what compelled Rashi to explain it the way that he does, but according to Rashi, it's a hekesh, even though really it's an unspoken hekesh because the words aren't there in the Torah. But Rashi says it's a hekesh. Tosus says it's because that's the case that the Gemara is really talking about. And somehow, however it is, we make a limud isura demi de hetera, and the Gemara is going to end off tiyufta de rova tiyufta. Generally in Gemara, when we say tiyufta de so and so tiyufta, it means that's. And it's one of the six places where we're passing like Abaya over Rava, and it's interesting because it doesn't seem like the most compelling proof. It's hard to even understand what the proof is, but the Gemara feels this shows us that Rava is not correct, and therefore we pass in a regular case that Yish Shalomi Das is not Yish. Sorry, we'll get into Yalkagam maybe next time. Okay.